The electric grid. Government. Private investigators. You name it. They call it the glass jaw. That is what it's called. Why? Because if anyone was to land a knockout blow to our electric power grid, they fear it could black out vast areas of the continent for weeks. It would also interrupt supplies of water, gasoline, diesel fuel, fresh food. It would shut down communications. There'd be disruptions on a scale that would only be hinted at Hurricane Sandy and beyond. That's why we're having this drill, apparently. They figure that it's very important that we have the drill. And they're bringing in National Guard officers, FBI anti-terrorism experts, and officials from government agencies in the United States, Canada, Mexico, all preparing for an emergency drill. That'll be happening November 13th and 14th. And it will simulate physical attacks and cyber attacks that could take down large sections of the power grid. They'll practice for a crisis unlike anything the real grid has ever seen. And more than 150 companies and organizations have signed on to participate. One goal of the drill called GridX2 is to explore how governments would react as if the power grid was crippled, the supply chain for everyday necessities was to be taken away from the American people and sustenance and everything else that goes with it. They'd be running these drills and running these scenarios to try and figure out exactly how we would react and what would be done if it happened. I thought, yeah, all well and good. And I talked about this last September when I first heard about it. I thought last September would be a time to talk about it. We wouldn't hear from it ever again. But then I started noticing some things. I've noticed that other talk show hosts were kind of, they were kind of insinuating that, you know, there's this coincidence about Comet Ison coming into view at that time, wondering if we're in danger that way. Maybe that's why they're testing the grid. And I thought, yeah, I'll look into that. And I'm sure, and I had someone on my show that once said that, but I didn't know after it was all over if I could verify her claims, because it turned out that she wasn't really giving me anything to go on. She promised, but she didn't deliver. And so it was a waste of time to bring people on a show that aren't going to talk about such things. So I let it sit aside for a while to try and figure out and get my bearings together and figure out where I was going to go with the story. And then all of a sudden I get a notice from a National Geographic saying, hey, we got a show coming on this Sunday. It's called American Blackout.
Millions of Americans are without power.
The sun's going down.
It's going to get really dark and we're going to have to light some candles.
Are you doing nothing too? Nobody's doing anything today because there's no power right now.
No power.
Nothing in here works.
No AC. The toilet doesn't work.
What are we supposed to do?
Where's everybody?
We're stuck.
We got to get some water.
Wait your turn!
Daddy, when are you coming to pick us up?
The current blackout is the result of a cyber attack.
Why is nobody helping us?
American Blackout, a premier movie event, Sunday, October 27th at 9 on the National Geographic Channel.
Okay, you look at that and you say to yourself, you know, and I watched it because they sent me a copy of it, and it begins with everybody kind of saying, aha, the power's out, look, we don't have to work today, yay, all this stuff. Then it starts getting darker and darker and darker as it progresses, and after 10 days, people are starting to go crazy. And the TV show actually has no faith in what will happen because they know human nature, obviously. This is what they're planning. And it wasn't, you know, it's not the only time we've seen how human nature reacts to desperation. In fact, there was a television show, Twilight Zone, 1960s, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, where people freaked out when the power went out. And that was only for a few hours. They were speculating and kind of getting all paranoid about it. But see, this is 10 days. I don't know if anyone can really imagine what it would be like to have the power out for that long a period of time. I know that I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't fathom it. I know I'd probably go crazy if I couldn't get a hold of information, internet, what have you. But then again, I've lived without it before when I lived on a farm in American Falls with my uncle. I mean, we didn't have internet then, but we didn't have many many things to keep us occupied either. We had to read a lot. We played games a lot. We were in a little trailer out in the back while they had a bigger trailer. We had to have a little space heater to keep us warm at night. It got cold out on the potato farm. So I've been kind of in a situation where, you know, I've been able to take care of myself in conditions that aren't exactly, you know, wonderful. But, you know, you prefer having better conditions. You prefer having power. You prefer having creature comforts. You prefer all those things, but you're not going to have them when the power goes out. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's a good, you know, cautionary tale to watch, ladies and gentlemen. Watch that. But then it got really weird when I was looking at the previews, and at the end it said, this will happen, as if it's indicating that it will happen. And reading an article in the New York Times really got me thinking about, well, maybe this GridX2, this drill, supposed to be having in November, maybe they're doing it because they're getting the word that people that somebody wants to take down the power grid. And we know that power failures of long duration begin to take their toll, and people feel helpless when they no longer can have basic needs. I mean, look, no cell phones, no internet, no money, no streetlights, traffic controls, all shut down, no gasoline, running water. You don't have running water, which means you can't have a toilet to flush or a place to bathe in unless you have potable water that you've saved yourself. But then again, you know, are you going to use it for bathing or drinking, or what are you going to use it for? And so watching American Blackout got me to thinking about a lot of things, and got me wondering about batteries, got me wondering about candles, got me wondering about how prepared I might be if something like that happens. But see, that's the thing. That's what they're there for. They make you think. It's so effective that they make you think about things. And so, as I said, there was a New York Times article that I was reading also that I thought the timing was like, wow, right after this. And then, of course, Syria had their power grid go down last night. But the New York Times article talked about it's called Electrical Grid is Called Vulnerable to Power Shutdown. It says, over the past few months, the discoveries of two engineers have led to a steady trickle of alarms from the Department of Homeland Security concerning a threat to the nation's power grid. Yet hardly anyone has noticed. And what it is that a communications protocol that is seen as being vulnerable. And the scientists, or the men, they weren't really scientists, they were basically software engineers, Adam Crane and Chris Sistrunk. They're not security guys. They're not hackers. They're engineers. And they hardly qualify as security researchers, but they're saying, and this was about 7 months ago, that Crane was writing a software, he wrote software to look for defects in an open source software program. And what happened is the program literally targeted a very specific communications protocol called the DNP3, which is predominantly used by electric and water companies, and it plays a crucial role in supervisory control and data acquisition systems. And so they call that the SCADA, and those systems monitor power systems, power stations that are away from control centers. Now, if they can go in and they can change that protocol, and those who watch these control centers lose track of them, someone could go in, shut them down, cause a domino effect, and voila, the entire grid goes down. And I think that's what they're expecting. I think that's what they're looking into, and that's why they're going to be having this drill in November. But we all know what happens when they have drills. Sometimes they go real time, and sometimes people wind up, you know, getting killed or hurt or what have you. So I don't know. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, that they assure us that there will be no power grid shutdown. However, the signposts are showing us we need to be prepared just in case. When you have television shows giving you the rundown on what you should do to how to prepare, I start paying attention, and I just want to point it out to you. So I want to know, do you think that something's going to happen? Do we need to be prepared for this? And if you need to be prepared, I can always tell you, go to prepareyourgroundzero.com. That's a place to go, because we have stuff. We'll ship it out to you for sure. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero on the way. Don't go away. We'll be back.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
It was actually brought up at the beginning of this program, and I thought it was a salient point that this vulnerability, this protocol vulnerability, could have been patched up with the same $500 million that was used to get us the Obamacare website that isn't functioning properly. Plus all the money that went into the NSA building at the Utah Data Center, where we're having all kinds of meltdowns and problems with that software. See, we're investing in spying on us. We're investing in all of these things that Obama wants, but not what is right for the country. And people will be struggling if this power grid goes down. Their priorities are screwed up. It doesn't make sense what is happening here. Not at all. It doesn't make sense at all. Let's go now to Marie in Brooklyn, New York. Marie, hi. You're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, Clyde. I remember when I was a child, we had a lot of drought here in New York City, and our water was rationed. But these big apartment houses, fancy, you know, they had these gigantic bronze plaques bolted to the front of their buildings saying, artesian well water in use on these premises. And they used that, you know, to water their lawns, do their laundry and all. And my neighborhood is built on bedrock, solid bedrock. And underneath this rock is a natural formation known as the Flatbush Reservoir. And that's where the artesian wells came from. I suppose these buildings still must have them. Only if they've changed ownership, they've capped it, they might not even know. But I suggest that communities look into it, see what water is available to them. And I was thinking, when Google gave New York City the money to put these smart meters, unshielded low-dose microwave devices on our buildings, I thought about maybe drilling a well in my backyard.
Well, I mean, so, if it's going to help you, if there's any kind of water shortage and the water will be pure, I'd say, yeah, do it.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, all right, a grid down for maybe 10 days won't. Well, our supermarkets would empty out in 15 minutes to half an hour, and our water would stop immediately without electricity.
Sure.
So I think neighborhoods should get together and see what's available to them. You can get topographical maps. You know, the big, musty, old, dusty tomes in city halls and town halls, they must have records of what's underneath the ground.
That's pretty smart. Yeah, I would suggest that be done because, yeah, that way you'll know where the water is. You'll know where food can be had. There should be a storehouse of non-perishable items that are available to eat if we need to eat them.
Without water, you can't have a vegetable garden either.
That's right. So you got to have potable water. Got to find that potable water somewhere.
And I would suggest communities get together and pull a little community organization and do something about it now while they can. You know, have it tested and whatever.
Well, somebody can always send out an email and say, I want to organize a group. Who's with me? And use this show as an example.
I don't have internet access, and I don't want it. I'm a private person.
Okay.
And that's why I'm calling you and have your listeners, take it under consideration all over the country. Water is important because without it, you can't grow vegetables. You can't do anything practical.
That's right. And that's what's really going to bother people is there's no way to clean, no way to drink, no way to shower, bathe, no flush toilets, nothing. And that's when you start having some pretty bad things go down after about 10 days of stuff piling up in the toilet. I don't think you want that any more than anyone else does.
Well, we have that with Sandy over here. You know, more than 10 days these people went without power. But one other thing I wanted to mention, you said something about cutting wood for fire.
Yeah.
Have you heard about a little thing called UN Agenda 21?
Yeah, I've heard about it. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you know that the presidents have been signing this thing, and Obama signed it, and he's already implementing it in the big cities?
Well, I'll tell you this. If I have to survive, I don't give a damn about what has been signed.
Yeah, well, with drones watching every move you make, you're not allowed to cut down government-owned wood.
Well, I wouldn't cut down government-owned wood. I'd go and scavenge, go be a scavenger for wood. I mean, you know, you have to go and find it somehow. And believe me, when you can be pretty damn resourceful when you're really hungry.
Oh, yeah. I have a son who's quite a survivalist. He's been taking his family camping for many years, and he says he knows how to purify water and everything. And one thing he said, you can't travel with pets. Now, I rescue pets, and we're at loggerheads over that. One thing I've thought about seriously, I mean, if it really comes to the Chi-Cons knocking down one of our satellites or a solar flare or something, I'd rather see my pets in the ground than butchered and eaten.
Yeah, well, that'd be better than, I would agree. Because, you know, that's the thing. You don't want to end up in that position either. And I don't think people even think about that either, whether or not they would look at their pet as a source for...
Well, not the people themselves, but people who want what you have, as one of your previous callers said.
Yeah, that's true. They could hunt down your pet and take it from you if they were that desperate. Those are some things I hope we never have to reach. But it does happen in some places, and that's the sad thing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Maria, I appreciate you calling the program tonight.
Well, I love talking to you, and I love listening to you. And even though they cut you off at 1 o'clock here, I can listen on the telephone when I call early.
And you can also listen on an app on your telephone. You can also listen. Well, you don't have online, but you can listen a lot of other places too. Anyway, Marie,
I'm talking to you on a hard copper wired phone, which Verizon is threatening to take away.
Oh man, that's too bad.
Yeah, they're cutting off all service in this town, and the government's saying, you need a hardwired phone in your home for safety. Uh-huh. Because if the electric goes down, I still can communicate with people who have a hardwired phone.
That's true. But then again, the power, if it's out too long, it may not be able to work for you. But we'll just wait and see what happens. Marie, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Once again, hoping it doesn't happen, but it just looks like that they're preparing us for something. No matter how long it takes, no matter how long it lasts, a power failure would be hell on America. It would make us vulnerable. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Phenomenon of a coronal mass ejection where large amounts of plasma or the corona of the sun are ejected, and if they hit the Earth's geomagnetic field, they produce a significant electromagnetic pulse. And the first time this was observed on a large scale was in 1859 in a storm known as the Carrington Event, which a NASA report described as those who witnessed this flare, that it electrified transmission cables of telegraph lines, set fires in telegraph offices, and produced northern lights so bright that people could read newspapers in the middle of the night by the red and green glows of the aurora borealis, which moved down toward the equator.
And it shall remove. Power! Now hear it. Power! Power! Catch it. When God said something, he can't take it back.
But on April 16th, an armed gang attacked a farm of transformers in San Jose, California, with AK-47s and tried to take them out. They damaged five of the transformers. This made the local press, didn't make much of the national news, didn't make any as far as I can tell, And initially, the local sheriff reported it as a sabotage attempt against these transformers. You know, subsequently, the reporting has toned it down that it was vandalism.
Say, Lord, I believe it. Power! Hear me? Power! And he'll make a way where there is no way. Hey, God, why? So he can't escape. There ain't no way out. He's going to die personally.
If the lights go out, if the critical infrastructure fails, if the casualties are as we believe they must be, given our dependence as a society on electricity, it won't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent or a non-voter.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to David in San Francisco, California. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, long time no call. Hey, you know, I work on energy issues out here in San Francisco. We have a nonprofit called Abalone Alliance Safe Energy Clearinghouse. And so I was actually kind of surprised to hear the urgent tone of this. And so I looked up the GridX 2, found an article from the New York Times. And it, apparently that New York Times article from August 16th has been reprinted quite often, and a lot of people are drawn from that. And apparently they did. If you go to NERC.com and then look up GridX there, they did one of these 2 years ago, and apparently nobody noticed it. So I wouldn't get too panicked about what's coming up.
I know that they did it, and I'm not panicked at all. But what I'm trying to tell you, and what I said in the beginning, and I guess you've missed it, was timing is everything. And when you have a television program that's pretty true to life, they don't pull any punches about the power grid going down for 10 days, and then you have two software engineers discover a vulnerable communications protocol within the substations and power stations of the United States, and demanding, and it was 8 months ago this research came out, this came out in the New York Times a few days ago, they were demanding that our country, that our government spend some money to protect the infrastructure and protect the grid, and they refused. And when Janet Napolitano walked away from her job at Homeland Security and said, the biggest threat to the country right now is a power grid threat that could be done with a cyber attack, I think that there's a lot of things to be said about that, GridX2 notwithstanding.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But what I'm saying is that what's planned for November, I don't think is going to be, you know, forcing the shutdown of all sorts of grids.
That's what they tell us. They tell us that's what they say. But
well,
see, you know,
I think they're going to be simulated. But there is something to be suspicious about.
Right. What I'm trying to tell you is that you look back at when those scientists in 2003. Decided to investigate the same thing and did something that's similar. And then afterwards, we had a grid failure and it knocked out the power in Canada and the Midwest and everything else. And they made up all these stupid stories as to why they did it. And knowing the record for people when they do these drills, I would say err on the side of caution. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means I would err on the side of caution.
Yeah, it's a good idea to be prepared and just to exercise, you know, your skills in such. But there, just in looking at this article from August, there were three things that raised the hairs in the back of my head. First one was there was a comment made that 99% of our military bases rely on private power. Now, we were very involved with Ralph Nader in making sure that there was an energy policy deregulation of electricity in 1996, and this is what led up to Enron looting California.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the vice presidents of Enron was a guy named Mark White, and he was given when Bush was elected in 2000, he made Mark White the Secretary of Army, and the first speech that Mark White did was to try to give to give Enron the rights to running our military bases. And so, and at that time, only about 15% of American military bases were privately owned. Almost every military base ran their own power company as a part of the base. You know, you don't want to rely on a private company to be coming on there. And so to say now that 99% of our bases are run by private companies, that sounds like Enron is still running the show.
I would agree with you. It sounds kind of fishy, don't you think?
Absolutely. Then the second thing is James Woolsey. James Woolsey is a former CIA director. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the 911, you know, when 9/11 happened, James Woolsey, within a half an hour of 9/11, the first building falling, James Woolsey was the one trying to get us to attack Iraq. Mm-hmm. So James Woolsey is involved in this GridX, too. And then the third thing is Cheney's energy policy. While Enron was still going on and before 9/11 happened, Cheney made a top-secret energy policy, and it's still top-secret. And this whole idea, I think by 2004, the Pentagon already had studies about how to deal with global warming, and they were expecting food riots by 2020 and whatnot.
Right.
And so as far as the Pentagon is concerned, they expect global warming and food riots and all sorts of stuff to happen. And this energy policy is a big part of that. And we have to find that energy policy and get it exposed for what it is, because these SOBs are, as far as I'm concerned, they're going to have some false flag sort of operation, because, you know, if there's a grid problem, most of these small power companies are using custom-made stuff that was from 1889 or whatever, whenever they started building these power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have had some upgrades in 1927 or something, but most of this stuff is not computerized.
You've heard about, I was going to say, David, you heard about the food riot money, right, that's been set aside just in case people freak out about their food stamps on November 1st?
Well, I'm not sure if I want to get into this. But
well, yeah, I'm just saying. Ahead. I'm just saying. You were talking about food riots. They're expecting food riots, right? You were saying that.
Yeah,
well,
but
they've set aside $80 million. I don't know if you know this. I mean, they've set aside $80 million to beef up security at certain locales across the country on November 1st, because they're thinking that with the cutback in food stamps and in the lowering of costs, the cutting of funding that they're going right. to be doing on November 1st, they're preparing for food riots.
Well, and that gets into the penny wise, pound foolish. It's not only, you know, if you just look at food stamps, for every $1 food stamps that come into your county, it turns into $1.87. So for the Republicans to cut off food stamps, they're cutting off an extra $1.87 in your local county. So they are not only boneheads economically, they're intentionally going out of their way to give money to security rather than feed people. So there's actually a famous book written, it's called For Those About to Die. It's written about the gladiators by mm-hmm. a guy named Daniel Mannix. Mm-hmm. And it starts off in the very beginning talking about how there was starvation in ancient Rome, and there were ships over in Egypt, and they had the opportunity to have, they had a bounty crop of corn there, and they could have hauled corn to Rome, or they could have hauled sand for the Colosseum floor. They brought sand for the Colosseum floor. They didn't care if it was starvation in Rome. They wanted to have the spectacle. So I think the same, that's why I say James Woolsey, the energy policy of Dick Cheney, and Mark White and Enron are the real suspicious here. If those SOBs are actually, you know, $80 million is nothing. That's a penny wise, but if they're going to spend that on cops rather than feeding babies, that's just, it's despicable. It shows how the saboteurs that the GOP are, the people that cut the food stamps to begin with. You know, honestly, I wish I had called in during the shutdown, because, you know, you look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz claims he's the man of the people and this and that, Tea Party, all this sort of crap. Turns out his wife is a vice president of Goldman Sachs. Her territory is so big that it runs from Mississippi to New Mexico. It's got Colorado, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and New Mexico as her district. Ted Cruz is no man of the people. He's no Tea Party.
I can
He's
tell you this.
Phony,
I can tell you this.
She's going to profiteer from the shutdown of the ruining of America's credit rating makes Goldman Sachs vast fortunes.
They're all basically feeding off of us. They're eating us, literally. Both sides, both parties, both political ends. None of them are here to pretty much recoup and try to save America. They want it to remain divided. They want it to remain non-transparent. And it seems to me that, you know, the obvious thing during the shutdown was how you take a look at how both sides of the fence operated, and it was despicable. It was sick and twisted. They actually made a mandate within the House that they could not start the startup government again. They made they changed the rules. They broke the rules. They bent the rules. They kept us all in suspense, and it was all a dog and pony show. And for what? To show us just how, and even with what was going on with Syria, to show us just how hawkish they all are, just how negligent they all are, and how much they really don't care about you or me. They're out for themselves, that goes all the way from the commander in chief down, and it's been that way since the Bush administration, and it continues on because the same men in Bush's administration, Poppy and the younger Bush, have and in the Reagan administration, and all through that have had blowbacks. They've had confidants that have turned out to be our enemies. They've made deals with the devil. They've continued this. And the men in the background that are calling the shots, the Kissingers, the Cheneys, the Rumsfelds, the Brzezinskis, all have a plan. And that plan is dictatorship. And they've been wanting it from the very beginning. And our leaders will fall for it.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, they're all saboteurs. Yeah, it's a Tories, Klan, and Nazis in a triad, and they're all going to fight over who's going to get it at the end. Yeah, it's pretty depraved, and that's why, you know, it is a good idea, you know, if the power went out, you know, have a bunch of foods prepared. But, you know, honestly, in almost every major disaster, whether it was the earthquake here in California, the blackout in New York in 1964, almost everybody, and in fact, 9/11, you know, the tone of the local community becomes united you stand, divided you fall.
Right.
And this whole idea of rampaging in the streets is actually a hoax. Almost everybody to a man becomes, you know, very much a neighborhood watch captain, so to speak.
Well, let's hope that's the case when the power's out, because I know that when creature comforts get taken away, it's every man for himself when it gets too long and too, you know, extended. So, I mean, keep our minds about ourselves, prepare for anything, get community involved, know your neighbors, prepare for what may happen. It may not happen, but still, no one's going to laugh at you if you still have a surplus in your home that you can live on if things get rough on a private in a private way. So, David, I thank you for your call. Thank you so much for being so informative, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, no sweat. Hey, by the way, there's one last thing.
I'm out of time. I'm out of time, David. I'm sorry. That's why I said goodnight. Take care.
Markets.
I got to go. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Go to Connecticut now and speak with Michael. Hi, Michael. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. How you doing, Clyde?
Good.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to comment on your show tonight. It's a good show. And if people haven't lived through, you know, having no power, you really don't understand, you know, the way it is. Because 2 years ago here in Connecticut, if you remember, we had a huge snowstorm.
Yes.
And all the leaves were on the trees and all the branches came down there. We have no power for a week. And just to have to live like that and have no heat, no way to cook anything, if you had no provisions, which most of us didn't, it just wears on you.
How did you live, Michael? Tell me how you lived. How did you live?
Well, basically, we were able to get to one of the grocery stores, and we managed to get a little bit of what we could. And
did they give you the food, or did you have to buy it?
Well, we had to buy it, obviously. And everything in our refrigerator ended up wasting with like $400 worth of stuff that we threw out. You know, we tried to eat what we could, but there was no way to keep anything. You know, it's like stepping back 100 years.
So, Michael, Michael, tell me what your typical day would be from wake up to go to sleep. Tell me what it'd be like.
It's a struggle. And if you live the way we live today, you know, you're used to having everything. And when you wake up and you have no heat, you have no way to cook anything, and your whole day is just trying to keep warm and put some food in your mouth, and there's nothing to do because you're used to watching TV and all this junk that we do, and you just find yourself sitting there kind of scratching your head. It physically and mentally will wear you out. By the fourth day, it was cold every night. No matter how many blankets I put on myself, it was cold. By that fourth day, I was just mentally and physically drained. And it got to the point where by the fifth day, I even started getting sick because my body was just so, and from the cold. It just doesn't stop. It doesn't go away. And if you don't have a fireplace or a generator, there's nothing you can do.
What types of foods were you eating, Michael?
Well, we had, you know, typical coffee and stuff like that. And I did try to help my neighbors and all that stuff. That's very important. Also, we had a lot of canned food that I heated up on a gas grill. And I had a little, like, Coleman grill for camping, and I used that, and I'm lucky I had that, and it came in very handy. You know, most people don't have a lot of this stuff, and it's very important to have conditions. And it's also very important to be friendly with neighbors, because in the community, people can help each other.
Michael, you're breaking up, but Michael, I appreciate you calling in. You're breaking up, though, buddy, and I appreciate a great call from you tonight, letting us know how it is every day. For at least 5 days without power, your fifth day, you start becoming drained, tired, not eating well, and it's very difficult to get through this type of power failure. Imagine if it happened in November after the grid goes down, or they at least do the grid drill. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but boy, they really got me thinking about it when I watched that National Geographic show. It's going to be on this Sunday night. Be sure and check it out. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.